For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, pretty rough one last night in Colorado. Talk more about it today. Here on Ben and Woods, certainly. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, is here. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. Really hope that when I get back from my trip, that we're not talking about where it all fell apart the last few days.
You know, traditionally, when you've gone on vacation, things have taken a turn for the worse. I do feel...
No, that's not always true.
Sure.
So, I remember, obviously, the disappointment of the 2021 trade deadline when I was on vacation, and the reversal when they did not pull off the big trade.
Yeah, the Max Scherzer deal.
But the next year, when I was in Hawaii,
right,
was actually when they turned it around.
Right.
It was, remember when things were going poorly late in the season, and Bob Melvin had like a meeting, and all of a sudden they reeled off a few wins,
yeah,
in the middle of September. I was in Hawaii when that. I was actually at the wedding, and things were like turning around. They won like five out of six or something, and got into the playoffs. Turning it around while I was on vacation.
So I remember
it can work both ways.
I remember taking Bo to Texas when they were mired in a huge skid, and I think they lost. I was there for 5 days. I think they lost five straight games. I mean, it is.
Me and Ben were like, "Cool, man, have fun."
Hey, man, hope you're enjoying your trip.
Be in the trenches, taking grenades over here.
Listen. I mean, I was nervous about this series going in, and after last night's loss, I continue to be nervous about it. I hate that place. As Adam Jones was just talking about, you know, singles turn into doubles and errors turn into grand slams, and you look up and you were leading 4-1, and now you're going to lose that game. And now you got Matt Waldron on the bump today, Benjamin, and did a little research for you about the knuckleball.
I bet it's really effective at Coors Field, isn't it?
In four career relief appearances, knuckleballer Steve Sparks put up a 12.91 ERA, gave up four home runs in seven-plus innings.
It's really cool.
Very cool, Mike. Very cool. Mets knuckler, Cy Young Award winner, R.A. Dickey, he never even appeared. He said the bullpens he threw in the ballpark and his minor league games in Colorado Springs were daunting because the knuckler tries to bite in the air and the thin, dry air will not allow it to do so. So...
I love that.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So the thing about Matt Waldron, when he's effective, that he throws that knuckleball up there, 69 miles an hour or whatever, and then he pumps 91 at you. That 91 looks like it's about 98. Now, if the knuckleball's not if it's rotating at all, it's just a BP fastball. That's all it is. That's what those guys hit for BP.
Now, I heard Matt Waldron say he likes throwing the knuckleball in dry air. He feels like he gets better...
Grip
and less spin on it. But again, if it's not reacting to the atmosphere the way it does in other climates, it may not dance around as much as it's supposed to, even if you're getting a good, nice grip on it.
Yeah, it opens up so much. If it is executed perfectly, every other pitch is almost impossible to hit, right? The knuckleball in and of itself is, you know, if it's low, let it go. If it's high, let it fly. But man, if it's high and it's not knuckling, oh my Lord, it is. It's the guy standing 20 feet from you just throwing beeps to you before the game. And those guys hit that, you know, that's what they hit for batting practice. It can get really ugly. I sure hope that they figure out a way to score some runs for him and more, you know, don't let up at all. Put together some good ABs. And, you know, you've really backed yourself in the corner with that one last night. So it could get ugly at Coors Field. I really hope it does not.
You dropped to 13-13
yep,
with the loss. 500. Yep. And I've seen a number of people in my Twitter mentions insulting the Padres. You know, they're just a 500 team.
Yep.
This is what you're watching. You're watching a 500 team. You're not wrong, but it's also not quite the insult that I think you think it is. If you play 500 baseball all season long until mid-September, and then you run off 7 out of 8, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, 500 keeps you where you need to be all season long and gives you the opportunity to make a late season, play your best baseball at the end of the season, which Mike Shildt has repeatedly said from the start of spring training, when we talk to him to early in the season, he goes, the goal is not to be a finished product now.
Correct.
We've got new pieces. We got young pieces. My goal always as manager is to keep improving and playing better all the way through the season until we get to the end of September and hopefully October, and we're the best version of ourselves at the end of
the
year.
It's a great philosophy.
If they're a 500 team now and we're seeing the worst version of the Padres, which was, you know, Mike Shildt's philosophy, and they're only going to get better from here, it's not a bad thing to be
no,
right now.
No, the staying afloat thing is massive in baseball. It's massive. It's not the NFL where you lose 4 games and you're like, oh, we're dead. You know, we're dead. Now we're hoping on other teams to lose. Now, you may get to that point where you're, you know, scoreboard watching to try to sneak into the playoffs, and who knows what you do when you get there.
Does anyone not think that the Padres are going to be there?
In the playoffs?
No. I mean,
oh.
At the very best, when it comes down to September, I don't see this Padres team just cruising into the playoffs
with room to spare.
If things go well, you're hopefully going to be scoreboard watching. You're hopefully going to be a few games above 500 and battling for a playoff spot at the end of the season. No one predicted, this team's going to run away.
The West.
They may not beat the Dodgers, but they're going to run away with the wild card, comfortably 95 wins, you know.
So you're just saying,
you're hoping to be around 80, you know, 6 wins at the end of the year, which is only that's 500 is 81 and 81.
Yeah.
So, you know, you turn 5 losses into wins. You're a playoff team from a 500 team. That's over the course of 162. 500 teams with just a little edge get into the playoffs.
I think what you're saying is remember the expectations that you had going into the season.
Correct.
Right, and it's hard. When they do play a little better and they do take 2 or 3 from the Dodgers, of course you get caught up and you want that 5-6 game winning streak. That's only natural as a fan. You want them to get hot and really see them play their best. But I'm with you. I mean, if I had to choose, play your best baseball now or play your best baseball in September, I'm taking September every time and letting the chips fall where they may. So it's a hard lesson to preach, the lesson of patience.
But that doesn't mean you can't have urgency now.
Absolutely.
You only have limited opportunities against teams like the Rockies, who aren't. We have any playoff expectations at all. They're going to be a bad team. They're going to finish well below 500.
Yeah, you got to.
And if you drop too many games to them, you've given up a real opportunity.
Well,
then you're going to have to win more games against the better teams.
Yeah.
So you're going to make it harder on yourself if you don't win series like this. And they know that. You know, Fernando Tatis said we got to take this series. You know, we got to win. It's not arrogance. It's just this is what you have to do if you want to be a slightly above 500 team at the end of the year. You got to win some series against the lesser teams. And now they've put their backs to the wall where they have to win the next 2 now to win this series. Would have been a lot easier if they had won last night. Then they just have to split the next 2.
Yep.
You take the series, you're feeling really good about where you are. So, much tougher situation now that you lost last night's game.
Let's get a caller on the line, Benjamin.
Oh, yeah, we need a Take on Woods contestant. Sorry, I was supposed to solicit.
It's all right.
And I did not solicit, but now I am soliciting. 833-288-0973. This is your last chance, I believe, this month. Maybe a couple of days next week, because May doesn't start until the middle of the week, actually. But one of your last chances this month to qualify for the getaway to Las Vegas. 833-288-0973. We'll play our musical trivia game here in about 1 minute. So call now. 833-288-0973. Chance for a late risers to get on board with Take on Woods. We pushed it back with our Mock the Draft coming up this morning at 7 o'clock. So we'll play that in just a second. As soon as you call in. Elsewhere, last night in the NL West, Dodgers beat the Nationals 4-1. Shohei Ohtani murdered a ball.
Yeah, he hit a tank.
It was, 118.7 miles an hour off the bat?
Yeah,
what's the, like, maximum you can really hit a ball?
I don't know.
That's near the upper maximum.
I wonder what the hardest ball I've ever hit is. 75 miles an hour, maybe? Like, I've barreled some balls, but, like, was it 75?
It wasn't even one of his moon balls. It only went 450 feet because it was actually more of a liner than he sometimes hits.
Only 450.
Yeah.
Since it's been tracked by StatCast, Giancarlo Stanton with the hardest hit baseball ever, 121.7.
Okay. That was close then to the upper sound barrier maximum of what a baseball can be hit.
Or at least that's the hardest hit home runs. I suppose there could be harder hit.
Yeah, line drives. But that's near the top. I mean, this is the strongest baseball players have ever been. This is the hardest the pitchers have ever thrown. When you barrel it up, I guarantee you that Ted Williams was not hitting at 120 miles an hour off the bat.
A couple of years ago, Manny had one home run, 119.6 against Philly, I believe that was.
0.1 less than Shohei's. Oh, no, 119. That's 119. A mile an hour faster 0.6. Than Shohei's last night. So it can be done, but that's pretty fast. Diamondbacks beat the Cardinals 14-1.
Yeah, not a good night for our friend Katie Wu covering the Cardinals.
And Giants beat the Mets, I believe, last night. So everyone's winning, and the Padres did not. That was a bad day in the NL West. All right, I see some people calling in. Let's get to today's game. It's time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods.
Let's go to line two. Is this David?
Yeah.
Yes, David. Is that? Can I call you David? Dave, what do you prefer?
Absolutely.
David is good.
Either way.
All right, you're our contestant today. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Woods has left the studio. You get to go first. 5 questions of musical trivia. If you beat or tie Woods, we'll put you into the grand prize drawing for the trip for two to the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and the concert tickets to Cool and the Gang. Check out the Westgate $70 million in room renovations now and get your tickets for Cool and the Gang at Ticketmaster.com. Here are the category choices today, David. We still have royal titles. 5 song titles or artists that include a British royal title somewhere in the name. We have SEX. Those are 5 song titles and artists that begin with the word sex. Bang. And we have our mystery category, which is back if you don't like either of the other two. David, royal titles, SEX, or mystery category?
Royal titles.
Royal titles. Okay. We've got 5 song titles or artists, and again, they include a British royal title in the name, like king or queen, just to give you the examples that are out there. You'll have 60 seconds pass if you don't know an answer. We'll come back to it. First question is our 2-second song. Paulie going to play you a little bit of music. You need to give me the title and the artist to score that point. You ready, David?
Ready.
All right. Put the 60 seconds on the clock. The category is royal titles. David, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
When Doves Cry, Prince.
Correct. San Diego resident Juice Newton sings "The Joker Ain't the Only Fool Who'd Do Anything for You" in which song that reached number 2 on the Billboard charts in 1981?
Queen of Hearts.
Correct. What is the stage name of rapper Anthony Ray, best known for his hit "Baby Got Back"?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Correct. Sting sings "There's a Little Black Spot on the Sun Today" in which single from the iconic Police album Synchronicity?
King of Pain.
Singer Gene Chandler became so known for which 1962 number one hit that he took the song title and made it his own nickname?
Duke of Earl.
Wow, David.
Good Lord.
Well, he may be a late riser for Take on Woods, but he is a champion. That was an outstanding game of Take on Woods right there. He had like 20 seconds to spare.
Yeah, more than that.
At the end. When Doves Cry by Prince, Queen of Hearts, Sir Mix-a-Lot, King of Pain, Duke of Earl. Woods can't do any better than that. I don't even know that he'll be able to match that. We'll see. Hang on the line there, David. All right. David's score is locked in. It's good. Focus in here, Woods. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on David.
When Doves Cry, Prince.
Correct. San Diego resident Juice Newton sings "The Joker Ain't the Only Fool Who Will Do Anything for You" in which song that reached number 2 on the Billboard charts in 1981?
Pass.
Which is the stage name of rapper Anthony Ray, best known for his hit "Baby Got Back"?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Correct. Sting sings "There's a Little Black Spot on the Sun Today" in which single from the iconic
King of Pain.
Correct. Singer Gene Chandler became so known for which 1962 number one hit that he took the song title, made it his own nickname.
Say it again.
Singer Gene Chandler became so known for which 1962 number one hit that he took the song title, made it his own nickname.
I feel like the category would help me tremendously. I have no effing idea what it is.
San Diego resident Juice Newton sings "The Joker Ain't the Only Fool Who'll Do Anything for You," in which song that reached number two on the Billboard charts in 1981.
I don't remember a lot of Juice Newton songs.
You know this song.
We've talked a lot about juice today.
Yes.
I don't effing know. I have no idea.
You're going to lose then, wow, because David just rushed through a 5 for 5. So the category was royal titles. Prince, Sir Mix-a-Lot, King of Pain. Queen of Hearts is Juice Newton's big
playing
hit.
Playing with the Queen of Hearts. Yeah. I had Carly Simon in my head.
And Gene Chandler is the Duke of Earl.
Duke of Earl. It's great.
David,
great.
Congratulations.
Job,
that was
David.
An impressive well win. Not only did you beat Woods, rarely are there wins that are by more than 1 point. When Woods loses, it's almost always 4-3 or 5-4. Mm. But a 5-3 win is one of the bigger victories we've seen in this game.
All right, Benny, why don't you get the hell out of here? Go on vacation.
Are you
ready? My gift
really?
To you. Yeah, go ahead. Enjoy.
You deserve really? It.
Yes,
thank
get
you.
The hell out of here.
Thank
Lead
you. Going to hit the road.
Hit
then.
The road,
you
man.
Good?
You good? The 45-minute head start.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think I need to talk about the farmer's dog once before
okay.
we leave.
But right.
after
you
that,
do your
I
farmer's
will,
dog, and then you
I'll
split.
Say goodbye to everyone, and I'll see you all on Monday morning.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, man.
You bet.
All right, we'll be back after a check of traffic here. Woods and Paul will be back after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Ben and Woods minus Ben. Benny was so happy when I paroled him early from the show today. He was supposed to leave at 9. I said, man, just get on the road. You did your take on Woods. Just beat it. Get on the road early. Head on out to Vegas. I know he's stressing. He's got a golf tournament he's playing out in. You know, he's got to drive all the way out there, and it's going to take him a while. So I just said, go ahead, man. That's on me. 45 minutes on your boy, and get there safely and all that. And Benny works very, very hard for this program and for everyone in his life. And I'm excited that he gets to take this vacation. He really, really deserves it. I know he's going to have fun. It's the perfect scene for him just to go out and play golf with his buddy and do nothing. Just play golf, might have a couple cocktails, might go out and play some poker. His vacations are a little different than mine and maybe yours listening as well. But this one for him is just perfect. It's all he dreams about is going out and playing multiple rounds of golf every day at a really nice golf course.
Like, it sounds to me, I like going out and playing golf.
Me too.
I like Nevada.
Yeah.
I like warm weather.
Sure.
I like warm weather.
I like warm weather.
But that sounds like a nice vacation for me. That's a dream vacation for him.
Yeah, if you know what I mean? If I go on vacation and I'll maybe like...
Have you ever brought golf clubs on a vacation? Like a true... Not a golf trip, but
no,
like a vacation.
I've never taken a golf trip. So I've brought them on several vacations and work trips. I've brought them on many work trips, as you know. But I've never gone on a vacation just to play golf, like a just a golf trip.
Right. Well, so, like if I'm flying somewhere, I don't usually lug the clubs with me. And
so he's thrilled. This is like his dream. So, yeah, he is on the road. So I just said, buddy, get on out there early. I know he was stressing the drive. The drive is a nightmare. I still can't believe he's driving, but he's going to. So for the next, hour and a half, you'll have me and Paulie. Then tomorrow, the Ben and Woods program will have a little bit different look. We're going to have a bevy of different guests and friends stopping by, and it's going to be a little bit off the rails, which is just how I like it. Just how I like it. We're going to have Eno Saris on. He'll be very excited to talk about Adrian Morihone, who pitched. You know, one of the lone bright spots last night was Adrian Morihone, and he really has looked like a different pitcher since he's come back. He looked really good. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say. He looked fantastic, and looks like he maybe settling into a role out there in the bullpen, and you know, kept them right in the ball game, which is exactly what they needed. But the offense just went flat. You know, it's just a. I know that right now you look at some of the rankings. Go, well, they're top five in this, and they're top eight in homers, and they're top blah and blah. And it's, you know, you're looking at it going, okay, I get it. We have been saying they're a feast or famine offense. We need some more feast soon. 100%. It's been a lot of famine.
And you thought you were going to get that at Coors Field this year.
I really, really
did. I don't
know
if it's the weather or what, but it's just not happening through two games.
No, it's not. It's not happening. And you kind of expect, you know, maybe the Rockies not to hit a bunch of bombs, and they've hit one. We've hit none. But, you know, you expect Fernando Tatis Jr. to get one, and he's come close. You expect a crony to be able to get one out of there. And it hasn't materialized yet. So, like we've talked about, painted themselves into a bit of a corner. Want to talk next to Brett Boone. Brett Boone from the Brett Boone podcast is coming up next. I'm excited to talk to him because his brother,
oh my God,
was involved in the weirdest ejection I think I've ever seen. He got thrown out for not saying one word, not doing anything other than standing there by Hunter Wendelstedt. So I'm sure he's talked to or texted with Aaron.
They're close. It's not like they're brothers, but they don't, you know, he doesn't like to bother him during the season.
He may have talked to him, but if he hasn't even, he's got perspective on you know, the umpires and what that's like.
Your reaction when he saw it.
It was amazing. Like, yeah, that was incredible.
That's all I want to know.
Yeah. All right, so Brett Boone will be coming up next. We've got a Rondo report coming up for you at 9. If you missed Mock the Draft, you'll probably hear that again today. We'll have Parker McCollum tickets coming up as well. So still a busy hour and a half left to go. It's Woodsy and Paul. Thanks for being here. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Wednesday to you. Everyone's dealing with this loss in their own personal and private way. I'm getting a lot of "we suck" messages in the YouTube chat. It's fine. You know, it is. You're gonna vent. I understand that. I understand it more with age, the need to vent. Certainly, I do plenty of it myself. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. Benny is out on vacation, but we are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every single week. Booney, welcome back to the program. Good to have you, man.
Guys, good to be here. What do we got cooking?
First of all, have you talked to your brother since he got rung the other day for saying nothing, zero?
Oh, Uncle Arnie. No, he's overwhelmed. He's got family in town. He's got my son, his girlfriend, and Nick. My son-in-law, Nick, is a shortstop for the A's, so Savannah's out there as well, my daughter. So he's got a house full, so they're filling me in. It's weird. When it happened, I'm pulling up. Me and my dad now, you know, dad's getting a little older.
Yeah.
In our old age together, we do family physicals for the Boone men. So it's the only way I can get my dad to go to the doctor. So we had a family physical on the day that it happened. Was that Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we pull up to the doctor's office. Mom's driving dad to meet me, and she gets out of the car. Your brother just got kicked out of the game. Your brother just got kicked out of the game. I said, Mother. And she's watching it. You know, she's got the MLB app. It's 8 in the morning and or whenever.
Yeah, it was like 10, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I said, Mom, I said, what's new? He gets kicked out all the time.
Once a week.
You know, so I laugh because – and then I got to see, you know, what happened as the day went on. I got all the clips and stuff. And I tell Aaron all the time, and I kid him. I said, dude, uncle with the getting thrown out of the games. Okay, we got it. You got your players back. You love your players.
You're fiery. We get it.
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, you're the best. You know. And I said, but just ease off and stop with the stupid strike zone and the box on Fox that's got the hitter track and all that.
Yeah,
we never had that before. No. Eyeball. It's either a strike or a ball, but it's not. You know when you yell at the umpire, he's going to get back to you. So he laughs and he goes, yeah, I got to get a little better with that. Anyway, I saw the clip and it cracks me up because Hunter Wendelstedt, you know, it's early in the game. Aaron's probably said something.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going, we're not going here this early in the game. It's the first inning. All right, I'm going to stop it right here. He yells at Aaron, I don't give a crap who in the dugout, any of your players say a word. It's on you because you're the captain of the ship. And Aaron kind of gives him the whatever. All right, so Hunter lays the law down, right? Now, all of a sudden, this fan out of nowhere yells, and Hunter just reacts, thinking it's a player. He throws him out. The reaction from Aaron's great.
Priceless.
It's like, what? You know, it's like we're at a travel ball game, and he's 13 years old. And, you know, come to find out, I'm sure Hunter, you know, after it all ended, the next day, he's probably like, oh, shoot, you know, I threw him out. But there were no ill intentions. Hunter's going to get a little slap on the wrist. Aaron's going to get nothing, because he shouldn't. But every time I watch my little brother argue, I laugh because it's so genuine. People understand this. It's the farthest thing from premeditated. It's what, and I know what goes through his brain. I've lived with this kid my whole life, and I just see that 8-year-old arguing with me about a field goal in the backyard, or you know, we're playing wiffle ball and it was a home run, but he thinks it hit the foul line, and I know it hit the foul line. But this is going to get him going. So I'm going to argue like it's clearly fair. No, it's not, Brett. No, it's – so every time he's out there arguing, I just go back to our childhood. And we've got a couple buddies, Aaron and myself, we both keep in contact with, childhood friends. And every time something like that, you know, I'll get a text and he'll text Aaron, what are you doing? You know, it's like he's on the playground again. So – It's entertaining, but I'll tell you, it's as genuine as all get out. That's what he is. I mean, what you see, Aaron Boone, that is genuinely who he is. And I know those wheels are spinning in his brain every time he goes onto the field thinking, okay, I got to be respectful. I don't want to show anybody up, but I have to get my point across. And then he just gets into it. And that's the way he argues. And he always has. And it's great. It's great to watch. But yeah, I told him at this point you've been a manager now. You're kind of a seasoned manager. Let's try not to get thrown out quite as often.
Incredible. Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Well, let's talk about umpires in general. I mean, we've said it before. It's like beating a dead horse. I'm to the point now already, 26 games in. I'm like, I can't complain about the umpires anymore. It's given me undue and unnecessary stress. I can't imagine what it was like down on the field. You know, you're talking about your numbers. You're talking about wins, losses. A couple calls last night that I thought were insane that Doug Ettings made. Did you ever have an umpire that had like a personal vendetta against you that you felt like this guy's got it out for me?
Oh, early in my career with that. It's different. Let me put this into context. I had Ted Barrett on the podcast the other day.
Yeah.
Recently retired, 29-year guy, retired after the 2002 season. He talked about Booney when you came up and I came up. We came up at the same time. Said it was different. It was each umpire had their own strike zone. We tried to do the best we could, but you know, some guys were low ball umps. Some guys were high ball umps. Some guys were pitchers, pitcher friendly. Some were hitter friendly. But as hitters, we knew the rules. We get out there in the first inning. He's going to establish that strike zone. We're going to be watching closely. And the great ones would establish their strike zone. Hey, maybe this guy's strike zone is a little higher, but as a hitter, we're well aware of that, but he's not going to give the low strike. So as long as you keep to your strike zone, I'm good with it. You know, if he calls that high strike, I know he's calling that high strike because he's established that. So there was peace amongst the players and the umpires. As time's gone on, they said, no, we don't want each umpire to have their own. We want a universal strike zone. The strike zone is the same,
yeah.
Which kind of makes it easier for everybody. So behind the scenes, these umpires train on a system And the umpires, by the way, are better than they've ever been. And I've heard that from several umpires that are recently retired.
Interesting.
They train on a system behind the scenes that we know nothing about. Okay, that little, they've got, Woodsy, for your, me too, for my sanity, take that stupid box off the TV. It's inaccurate. Every umpire I've talked to said that's how we're not how we're graded, Brett. So there might be four pitches that on the simulcast are called. They'll say, oh, that's outside the box. But the way they train and the system they train on the umpires, they got a perfect score on those four pitches. So he said, basically, we're going to do what we're supposed to call, and that's what we train on. And we can't help what is on Fox on the broadcast because that's not what balls and strikes are that we're told to call. So he said, basically, we're in a no-win situation. The problem is, yes, it's entertainment. That's what sports is, you know. It is entertainment. So for the guys at home that like to watch the game and have a kind of an idea what the actual strike zone is, that's great. But it should be, you know, for entertainment purposes only. The problem is now everybody's an expert sitting on their couch. And you see that umpire, he stinks. He's terrible. In my day, we didn't have the box. Now, if I thought a pitch was close, you know, I'd have some words for the umpire. I'd go into the video room and I'd look at it, and it was an eyeball thing. I know what a strike is and a ball is, and I'd go, you know, that's too close for me to take in that position. So maybe I'd have a conversation with him later. Yeah, I thought it was just off, but you're right. That was too close for me to take. But there was obvious, you know, balls and strikes to the naked eye as a player. Now we're so skewed. And believe me, I fall victim to it, too. I sit on the couch and yell, how can you call? And then I catch myself and I'm thinking, I'm turning into a crazy man.
Are they?
Because of this one thing, this stupid box.
Are they more sensitive now, though? I feel like umps now are spoiling
Wouldn't
for a
be?
Fight. Yeah, and listen, I've said that, Brett. I'm the most sensitive, thin-skinned, name it. If you want to call that
They're
an insult.
They're in a no-win situation.
Yeah, they are. They're,
no-win situation.
You've said it a million times. It's the worst job.
It's not for me.
It's
that's
so
why,
thankless.
But, Brett, that's why I didn't become an umpire. Like, I know I wouldn't. I would be the guy ripping my mask off, walking towards the dugout. Like, what'd you say? I'm that guy. I'm that guy in life. It just seems lately like, and look, they can control a lot of the game. What do you think about at least instituting some sort, we're talking to Brett Boone, by the way. What do you think about instituting at least some sort of challenge like they're doing in the minor leagues? Tap your helmet. You know, that ball's obviously down. You missed it. It's fine that you missed it. You know, pop my helmet and give me another look. You down with that? Or do you think it's going to slow the game down? Or?
I think so because, you know, the game has changed. And to be honest with you, I don't like change. You know, I'm a traditionalist. I like everything, but you know what? The changes that have been made recently, I've learned to, as I get a little bit older, and now I'm in an analytical seat where I'm analyzing games. I don't like the change, especially being a player and playing for so long. But I'll tell you, I've been pleasantly surprised, and I've learned to really have an open mind because some of the changes they made that I thought I was staunch against, I've really kind of got I kind of like that. I think it's good for the game. It moves the game along. So I'm open-minded to everything. I think at this stage, with the technology we have and so much confusion out there with umpires, and all I hear from the guys calling the game now up in the booth is everything is about every pitch. Oh, that's not a strike. He's terrible.
Yeah, it's true.
No, he's not. We didn't used to have that because you didn't have this. The umpires are in a no-win situation. They're hypersensitive, but wouldn't you be if every single call is absolutely scrutinized by every Twitter follower on the earth. So, yes, old school Brett says, no, I love the human element. I love the game the way it is. But I think there's got to be a change just because of it. And the players today, they are hypersensitive to it because they really know the strike zone, too, that is supposed to be called by the umpire. They're very good at it. You know, the umpires say, these players know what's a ball and a strike. That being said, if you go to a computer and you just go to an actual robo umpire, I still think it's an incomplete science. I don't think they're there yet. I think they're getting better and better. But it doesn't account for Altuve being in the box or Aaron Judge being in the box. How do you do that? You know, how do you adjust it time to time? It's an imperfect science. So I think first step, I'm with you, Woodsy. I think there should be a challenge. And I think from what I've heard in the minor leagues, and I haven't seen it in play that often, but the feedback I'm getting, that it's been pretty successful at the minor league level. So I think the challenge system, yeah, don't get out, don't get carried away. You get one challenge, and you can move on from that. I think definitely, if not next year, the following year, I think you're going to see something like that. Maybe one day. I think in our lifetime, we're going to see flat out umpires. But I also think you're going to go to McDonald's and there's not going to be a human being. So that's my thought. You know, but I think, yeah, going forward, the way the game's going, the perfection, we got to get everything perfect.
Yeah.
I think one day you're going to see robo-umps, but I think the first step is going to be that challenge system.
You know, it's interesting, too. We're talking to Brett Boone here. Just got a couple minutes left with Booney. It's just interesting to me, all the changes in baseball, and I've embraced most of them. Like, I like the pitch clock now. I absolutely think it helps speed the game along.
I love it.
Yeah, I didn't think I would, and I do. And, you know, the banning of the shift, okay, yeah, I can that too, and it forces guys to be a little more athletic at times. I definitely love that too. In your opinion, is there anyone that you don't like right now that they need to do away with? Like the ghost runner maybe on second?
You know, but along with that pitch clock, I kind of like it. If I got to watch a game, I like knowing that I'm going to be done in 2 hours and 40 minutes.
It's true.
I kind of like the ghost runner, and I never in a million years would say that. Now, I think it's the way they have it set up. You go to the postseason, there's no more ghost runner.
I like that. Me too.
Then you're getting a true winner or loser. But for 162 games, I don't think there's a fairness or an unfairness to the ghost runner. So at first I was like, you kidding me? We don't have ghost runners in my day. But now I'm thinking, kind of like the ghost runner. I kind of think it moves it along and it's doing what they're trying to do. I thought that, you know, of course, right now, huge advantage to the base stealers. And you see that. And you see guys stealing more bases, attempting to steal more bases. Ding, ding, ding. That was the whole purpose.
That's the point. Yep.
Is to get people to move and start playing old style baseball. I love it that guys are running now. Yes. It's way easier to steal a base now than it was 3 years ago, but that was the point. Hey, get people active. Get them thinking about running. Now, I think they're going to have to pare that back, the two disengagement rules, because I think base running is going to get out of control and everybody's going to be Ricky Henderson. But I think it was the premise behind it, I think, was really good. I don't know as far – here's what I don't like, and I'll end with this. Drilling the catcher. I'd like just pummeling him if I'm an opposing runner. And he's in my way.
The blocking
rules. I think that's a part of the game.
Yeah.
The hockey aspect, I want it back.
Yes.
And for me being a second baseman, I don't like the fact that you have to slide straight into the bag. I think it cheapens my position. I think what we hung our hats on and to be elite at the second base position is the ability to turn that big double play with some dude barreling down on you trying to kick your butt in the left field. And the great ones turned it in the bottom of the ninth when you had to have it. They turned that big double play, got flipped in the air. Now the peanut lady can.
Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Wednesday to you. Everyone's dealing with this loss in their own personal and private way. I'm getting a lot of "we suck" messages in the YouTube chat. It's fine. You know, it is. You're gonna vent. I understand that. I understand it more with age and the need to vent. Certainly, I do plenty of it myself. Woodsy, that's Paul Reindel. Benny is out on vacation. But we are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every single week. Booney, welcome back to the program. Good to have you, man.
Guys, good to be here. What do we got cooking?
What do we got cooking?
What don't we got cooking?
So first of all, have you talked to your brother since he got rung the other day for saying nothing, zero?
Oh, Uncle Arnie. No, he's overwhelmed. He's got family in town. He's got my son, his girlfriend, and Nick. My son-in-law, Nick, is a shortstop for the A's. So Savannah's out there as well, my daughter. So he's got a house full, so they're filling me in. It's weird. When it happened, I'm pulling up. Me and my dad now, you know, dad's getting a little older.
Yeah.
In our old age together, we do family physicals for the Boone men. So it's the only way I can get my dad to go to the doctor. So we had a family physical on the day that it happened. Was that Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we pull up to the doctor's office. Mom's driving dad to meet me, and she gets out of the car. Your brother just got kicked out of the game. Your brother just got kicked out of the game. I said, Mother. And she's watching it. You know, she's got the MLB app. It's 8 in the morning and or whatever.
Yeah, it was like 10, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I said, Mom, I said, what's new? He gets kicked out all the time.
Once a week.
You know, so I laughed because, and then I got to see, you know, what happened as the day went on. I got all the clips and stuff. And I tell Aaron all the time, and I kid him. I said, dude. Uncle with the getting thrown out of the games. Okay, we got it. You got your players back. You love your players.
You're fiery. We get it.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. But yeah, you're the best. Yeah. And I said, but just ease off and stop with the stupid strike zone and the box on Fox that's got the hitter track and all that.
Yeah.
We never had that before. You eyeball. It's either a strike or a ball, but it's not. You know when you yell at the umpire, he's going to get back to you. So he laughs and he goes, yeah, I got to get a little better with that. Anyway, I saw the clip and it cracks me up because Hunter Wendelstedt, you know, it's early in the game. Aaron's probably said something.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going, we're not going here this early in the game. It's the first inning. All right, I'm going to stop it right here. He yells at Aaron, I don't give a crap who in the dugout, any of your players say a word. It's on you because you're the captain of the ship. And Aaron kind of gives him the whatever. All right, so Hunter lays the law down, right? Now, all of a sudden, this fan out of nowhere yells, and Hunter just reacts, thinking it's a player. He throws him out. The reaction from Aaron's great.
Priceless.
It's like, what? You know, it's like we're at a travel ball game, and he's 13 years old. And, you know, come to find out, I'm sure Hunter, you know, after it all ended, by the next day, he's probably like, oh, shoot. You know, I threw him out. But there were no ill intentions. Hunter's going to get a little slap on the wrist. Aaron's going to get nothing, because he shouldn't. But every time I watch my little brother argue, I laugh because it's so genuine. People understand this. It's so it's the farthest thing from premeditated. It's what, and I know what goes through his brain. I've lived with this kid my whole life, and I just see that 8-year-old arguing with me about a field goal in the backyard, or you know, we're playing wiffle ball and it was a home run, but he thinks it hit the foul line, and I know it hit the foul line. But this is going to get him going. So I'm going to argue like it's clearly fair. No, it's not, Brett. No, it's. So every time he's out there arguing, I just go back to our childhood. And we've got a couple buddies, Aaron and myself, we both keep in contact with, childhood friends. And every time something like that happens, you know, I'll get a text and he'll text Aaron, what are you doing? You know, it's like he's on the playground again. So. It's entertaining, but I'll tell you, it's as genuine as all get out. That's what he is. I mean, what you see, Aaron Boone, that is genuinely who he is. And I know those wheels are spinning in his brain every time he goes onto the field thinking, okay, I got to be respectful. I don't want to show anybody up, but I have to get my point across. And then he just gets into it. And that's the way he argues. And he always has. And it's great. It's great to watch. But yeah, I told him at this point you've been a manager now. You're kind of a seasoned manager. Let's try not to get thrown out quite as often.
Incredible. Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Well, let's talk about umpires in general. I mean, we've said it before. It's like beating a dead horse. I'm to the point now already, 26 games in. I'm like, I can't complain about the umpires anymore. It's given me undue and unnecessary stress. I can't imagine what it was like down on the field. You know, you're talking about your numbers. You're talking about wins, losses, a couple calls last night that I thought were insane that Doug Ettings made. Did you ever have an umpire that had like a personal vendetta against you that you felt like this guy's got it out for me?
Oh, early in my career with that. It's different. Let me put this into context. I had Ted Barrett on the podcast the other day,
yeah.
Recently retired, 29-year guy, retired after the 2002 season. He talked about Booney when you came up and I came up. We came up at the same time. Said it was different. It was each umpire had their own strike zone. We tried to do the best we could, but you know, some guys were low ball umps, some guys were high ball umps, some guys were pitcher friendly, some were hitter friendly. But as hitters, we knew the rules. We get out there in the first inning, he's going to establish that strike zone. We're going to be watching closely, and the great ones would establish their strike zone. Hey, maybe this guy's strike zone is a little higher, but as a hitter, we're well aware of that, but he's not going to give the low strike. So as long as you keep to your strike zone, I'm good with it. You know, if he calls that high strike, I know he's calling that high strike because he's established that. So there was peace amongst the players and the umpires. As time's gone on, they said, no, we don't want each umpire to be have their own. We want a universal strike zone. The strike zone is the same,
yeah.
Which kind of makes it easier for everybody. So behind the scenes, these umpires are trained on a system. And the umpires, by the way, are better than they've ever been. And I've heard that from several umpires that are recently retired.
Interesting.
They train on a system behind the scenes that we know nothing about. Okay, that little – they've got – Woody, for your – me too. For my sanity, take that stupid box off the TV. It's inaccurate. Every umpire I've talked to said that's how we're – not how we're graded, Brett. So there might be four pitches that on the simulcast are called – they'll say, oh, that's outside the box. But the way they train and the system they train on the umpires, they got a perfect score on those four pitches. So he said, basically, we're going to do what we're supposed to call, and that's what we train on. And we can't help what is on Fox on the broadcast because that's not what balls and strikes are that we're told to call. So he said, basically, we're in a no-win situation. The problem is, yes, it's entertainment. That's what sports is, you know. It is entertainment. So for the guys at home that like to watch the game and have a kind of an idea what the actual strike zone is, that's great. But it should be, you know, for entertainment purposes only. The problem is now everybody's an expert sitting on their couch.
Yeah.
You see that umpire, he stinks. He's terrible. In my day, we didn't have the box. Now, if I thought a pitch was close, you know, I'd have some words for the umpire. I'd go into the video room and I'd look at it, and it was an eyeball thing. I know what a strike is and a ball is, and I'd go, you know, that's too close for me to take in that position. So maybe I'd have a conversation with him later. Yeah, I thought it was just off, but you're right. That was too close for me to take. But there was obvious, you know, balls and strikes to the naked eye as a player. Now we're so skewed. And believe me, I fall victim to it too. I sit on the couch and yell, how can you call? And then I catch myself and I'm thinking, I'm turning into a crazy man.
Are they?
Because of this one thing, this stupid box.
Are they more sensitive now, though? I feel like umps now are spoiling for a fight. I've said that, Brett. I'm the most sensitive, thin-skinned, name it. If you want to call that
an
insult.
They're in a no-win situation.
Yeah, they are.
No-win situation.
You've said it a million times. It's the worst job.
It's not for me.
It's so thankless.
Brett, that's why I didn't become an umpire. Like, I know I would be the guy ripping my mask off, walking towards the dugout. Like, what'd you say? I'm that guy. I'm that guy in life. It just seems lately like, and look, they can control a lot of the game. What do you think about at least instituting some sort? We're talking to Brett Boone, by the way. What do you think about instituting at least some sort of challenge, like they're doing in the minor leagues? Tap your helmet. You know, that ball's obviously down. You missed it. It's fine that you missed it. You know, pop my helmet and give me another look. You down with that, or do you think it's going to slow the game down? Or
I think so, because, you know, the game has changed. And to be honest with you, I don't like change. You know, I'm a traditionalist. I like everything. But you know what? The changes that have been made recently, I've learned to, as I get a little bit older, and now I'm in an analytical seat where I'm analyzing games. I don't like the change, especially being a player and playing for so long. But I'll tell you, I've been pleasantly surprised, and I've learned to really have an open mind, because some of the changes they made that I thought I was staunch against, I've really kind of, I kind of like that. I think it's good for the game. It moves the game along. So I'm open-minded to everything. I think at this stage, with the technology we have and so much confusion out there with umpires and all I hear from the guys calling the game now up in the booth is everything is about every pitch. Oh, that's not a strike. He's terrible.
Yeah, it's true.
No, he's not. We didn't used to have that, because you didn't have this. The umpires are in a no-win situation. They're hypersensitive. But wouldn't you be if every single call is absolutely scrutinized by every Twitter follower on the earth? So, yeah. Old school Brett says, no, I love the human element. I love the game the way it is, but I think there's got to be a change just because of it. And the players today, they are hypersensitive to it because they really know the strike zone too that is supposed to be called by the umpire. They're very good at it. You know, the umpires say these players know what's a ball and a strike. That being said, if you go to a computer and you just go to an actual robo-umpire, I still think it's an incomplete science. I don't think they're there yet. I think they're getting better and better. But it doesn't account for Altuve being in the box or Aaron Judge being in the box. How do you do that? You know, how do you adjust it time to time? It's an imperfect science. So I think first step, I'm with you, Woodsy. I think there should be a challenge. And I think from what I've heard in the minor leagues, and I haven't seen it in play that often, but the feedback I'm getting, that it's been pretty successful at the minor league level. So I think the challenge system, don't get carried away. You get one challenge, and you can move on from that. I think definitely, if not next year, the following year, I think you're going to see something like that. Maybe one day. I think in our lifetime, we're going to see flat out umpires. But I also think you're going to go to McDonald's and there's not going to be a human being. So that's my thought, you know, but I think, going forward, the way the game's going, the perfection, we got to get everything perfect.
Yeah.
I think one day you're going to see robo umps, but I think the first step is going to be that challenge system.
You know, it's interesting too. We're talking to Brett Boone here. Just got a couple minutes left, with Booney. It's just interesting to me, all the changes in baseball, and I've embraced most of them. Like, I like the pitch clock now. I absolutely think it helps speed the game along.
I love it.
Yeah. I didn't think I would, and I do. And, you know, the banning of the shift. Okay. Yeah. I can that too. And it forces guys to be a little more athletic at times. I definitely, love that too. In your opinion, is there anyone that you don't like right now that they need to do away with? Like the ghost runner maybe on second?
You know, but along with that pitch clock, I kind of like it. If I got to watch a game, I like knowing that I'm going to be done in 2 hours and 40 minutes.
It's true.
I kind of like the ghost runner, and I never in a million years would say that. Now, I think it's the way they have it set up. You go to the postseason, there's no more ghost runner.
I like that. Me
then
too.
Then you're going to true winner or loser. But for 162 games, I don't think there's a fairness or an unfairness to the ghost runner. So at first I was like, you kidding me? We don't have ghost runners in my day. But now I'm thinking, kind of like the ghost runner. I kind of think it moves it along and it's doing what they're trying to do. I thought that, you know, of course, right now, huge advantage to the base stealers. And you see that. And you see guys stealing more bases, attempting to steal more bases. Ding, ding, ding. That was the whole purpose.
That's the point. Yep.
Is to get people to move and start playing old style baseball. I love it that guys are running now. Yes. It's way easier to steal a base now than it was 3 years ago, but that was the point. Hey, get people active. Get them thinking about running. Now, I think they're going to have to pare that back, the two disengagement rules, because I think base running is going to get out of control and everybody's going to be Ricky Henderson. But I think it was the premise behind it, I think, was really good. I don't know as far – here's what I don't like, and I'll end with this. Drilling the catcher. I'd like just pummeling him if I'm an opposing runner. And he's in my way.
The blocking
rules. I think that's a part of the game.
Yeah.
The hockey aspect, I want it back.
Yes.
And for me, being a second baseman, I don't like the fact that you have to slide straight into the bag. I think it cheapens my position. I think what we hung our hats on and to be elite at the second base position is the ability to turn that big double play with some dude barreling down on you trying to kick your butt in the left field. And the great ones turned it in the bottom of the ninth when you had to have it. They turned that big double play, got flipped in the air. Now the peanut lady can turn a double play. A left fielder can turn a double play. And I think it's really cheapened the integrity of my position that I played for so long. I don't like that, but everything else I kind of like. I love the fair and foul. You have to replay it. I love the fact that a close play at first base, it goes to the booth because you don't want to get that wrong. That's the difference of the game. One thing I think they could do away with is the instant replay on tag plays because it's dangerous. I think if you're out by 10 feet and you hold that glove down, you're very vulnerable to getting spiked, something. We used to just get it down, show that the ball beat him, show the umpire. Now you got to physically tag him, and now guys are doing swim moves. It's like acrobatics in the field. Who's got the best swim move to elude the guy when clearly you're out? So I don't really like that, but I don't want to get too ticky-tacky. Yes, I think for the most part, the rules are good. Oh, by the way, we didn't need the bigger bases, but the fact that they're here, I guess that's fine.
You're the man, dude. Knocked it out of the park as usual, Booney. We will talk to you very soon, brother. Thanks so much for checking in.
You got it, guys.
All right, buddy. That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. We got to check traffic, Paulie. Let's do that now.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Traffic is sponsored by AirMax, San Diego's highest-rated heating and air company. A couple of problems along the 15. One of them is some defective traffic signals on the Scripps Poway Parkway off-ramp northbound 15, seeing a bit of a backup there. Further north on the 15 before Rancho Bernardo Road, some metal debris reported in the fast lane. Also a collision at the clearing stage on southbound side of the 15 at the northbound 5 connector. Tow trucks on scene, a couple vehicles involved in that tangle. Looking for the best in HVAC? Choose AirMax, San Diego's highest-rated heating and air company. With free diagnostics on all repairs and estimates, see why over 1,300 happy customers are given AirMax 5-star Yelp reviews. See AirMax today at airmax.com. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Thank you, Kelly Danick. Do you know who wouldn't be the best umpire? It'd be Ben Higgins, and there's just no question about it. And he could go to umpiring school now. He would be leading a crew with inside of 4 years. Honestly,
oh, yeah. He's in the World Series.
He has the right temperament for it.
He could have somebody just like Mike Schilt, just
nothing
going off
gets
on him,
to him,
and he would just stand there, just take it.
Nothing. Gets to that man. There's that saying, water off
no emotion.
Yeah, water off a duck's back. He's the epitome. And I mean, like, nothing gets to him.
Yeah.
Things happen to Ben, and I go, what? What? It's fine. I'm like, what? This happened, that happened, they said that, they said this. And he's like, it's no big deal. I mean, what do I care? It's unbelievable. I mean, he is truly a rock. And I think he would be the guy that would sit and take the drawing all day long from Aaron Boone, from Mike Schilt, from Dave Roberts, especially Dave Roberts. He would be the best umpire in the game.
Yeah,
he
missed, I couldn't agree more.
The mobility may be a little tough. You know, being mobile and being able to be behind, you know, squat down that many times might be tough. You might have to set him on a bucket. But him bending down, because he's told me, he's like, I can't squat or anything. Like, that would be really, really hard for me.
Brushing off the plate.
Oh, my God. He would have a brush attached to his shoe. Yeah, and he would just kick it clean.
The extender.
Yeah, the extender.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Oh, you worked home plate last night. That's why.
And we'd still make him do the radio show every morning.
Oh, there's no question.
You just do it remotely.
There is no question. All right, we'll be right back. We got a Rondo report coming up. Replay Ben Mock's draft in case you missed it. It is unbelievable.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.